dearly beloved in the hearts of Jesus and Mary. In the year 1562, on the 17th day of September, the Holy Ecumenical Council of Trent issued its dogmatic decree on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. This occurred in the 22nd of the 25 sessions of the Council, and approximately 17 years after the Council had been officially opened, and about 15 months before it was to close. The Council of Trent was the 19th Ecumenical Council, which means a general council of the bishops and other prelates of the whole church throughout the world under the supreme authority of the Pope. The 20th Ecumenical Council was the first Vatican Council held in 1869 and 1870. Trent, whose population is around 40,000 or so today, is a city in northern Italy in the Alps, near the mountain pass that gives easy access into Austria and the rest of Europe. In Italian, it is called Trento, which was called Tridentum in the ancient Latin. From the Latin name came the adjective Tridentinum, that is, anything pertaining to the city of Trent. And this adjective came into our English language as Tridentine. Thus, nowadays, there has been much talk about the Tridentine Mass, which is the Holy Mass of the past several centuries because it is based upon the decrees and decisions of the Holy Council of Trent. But it is, in reality, the Mass of all times. This Ecumenical Council was convened on December the 13th in the year 1545 under Pope Paul III, and it closed on December the 4th in the year 1563 under Pope Pius IV. The council was interrupted more than once because of various difficulties and intrigues, and even by war. Once it was suspended for a period of 10 years. At least five popes reigned during the 18 years of the council, while one of these five popes lived only 22 days after his election. But only three popes actually presided over the council through their legates, namely Pope Paul III, Julius III, and Pius IV. The Council of Trent was a dogmatic council. It gave us many of the dogmas of our Holy Catholic faith, and these are, by the will of God, infallible and can never be changed. These dogmas are truth revealed by God Himself and can never be revoked. Among the numerous decisions of the Council of Trent were those pertaining to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Those decisions pertaining to the sacrificial nature of the Mass are infallible decisions. That is, the Holy Mass is a true sacrifice. And this is its outstanding characteristic. The Holy Mass was established as a sacrifice by God Himself, and no human being may dare destroy its nature or call it something else. At the time that the Council of Trent was convened, there were many errors being spread about concerning the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The so-called reformers, who were anything but true reformers, were attempting to destroy the very nature of the Holy Mass, and they were condemning it with even the most vile language. They were the new breed of those days. They were the modernists and the wild liberals of those times. They were attempting to reform divine things which cannot be reformed by man. Instead of asking for the reform of men, who in those days were so badly in need of genuine reform and renewal in God. In condemning and demanding the removal of real abuses, the radicals charged right past the abuses and attacked what is divine and began tearing up the whole divine setup of things within the church. The Council of Trent could not possibly change the divinely established nature of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but it did its best to do away with various abuses connected with the sacrifice of the Mass. Among the abuses that were removed by the Council, one of the Council Fathers named some of the following in his address on the second last day of the Council, on December 3rd, 1563. You have removed from the celebration of the Mass all superstition, all greed for gain, and all irreverence. You have forbidden vagrant, unknown, and depraved priests to offer this holy sacrifice. You have removed its celebration from private homes and profane places, and have returned it to holy and consecrated sanctuaries. You have banished from the temple of the Lord the more effeminate singing and musical compositions and promenades, conversations, and business transactions. The same Council Father stated that the decisions of the Council of Trent concerning the most holy sacrifice of the Mass, as well as concerning Holy Communion, were so marvelous that we have nothing holier, nothing more beneficial, so that these decisions appear to have fallen from heaven rather than to have been composed by men. And now let us proceed to look into the actual doctrine of the Council of Trent regarding the holy sacrifice of the Mass. To mention the date once again, it was on September 17, 1562, during the reign of Pope Pius IV, and at its 22nd session that the Council of Trent issued this dogmatic document on the sacrifice of the Mass. The document began by stating the reasons why it was drawn up, namely, in order that the ancient, complete, and in every way perfect faith and teaching regarding the great mystery of the Eucharist in the Catholic Church may be retained, and with the removal of errors and heresies, may be preserved in its purity. The Holy Ecumenical and General Council of Trent, lawfully assembled in the Holy Ghost, the same legates of the Apostolic See presiding, instructed by the light of the Holy Ghost, teaches, declares, and orders to be preached to the faithful the following concerning it, since it is a true and only sacrifice. These last words, the true and only sacrifice, express the key doctrine of the Church regarding the Holy Mass. It is a true sacrifice given to us by God, and it is the only sacrifice given to us by God. After the foregoing introduction, the Council proceeds to present 9 chapters that set forth its teaching on the holy sacrifice of the Mass, plus 9 canons, as they are called, in which specific errors are condemned. After this comes a decree concerning the things to be observed and the things to be avoided in the celebration of the Mass, as well as a decree concerning reform that pertains mainly to the clergy. We will concentrate especially on the 9 chapters and the 9 canons mentioned. Chapter 1 deals with the institution of the most holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Council of Trent points out how imperfect were the sacrifices of the Old Testament, and how imperfect was the priesthood of the Old Testament Levites, as they were called. But the God and Father of Mercy decreed that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek, namely Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest, who was to establish the perfect sacrifice. Melchizedek was the king and priest of the Old Testament, living in the time of Abraham, some 2,000 years before the time of Christ, who offered bread and wine to the Lord, thus prophetically prefiguring the coming of the holy sacrifice of the Mass established by the Redeemer. The perfect sacrifice of the Mass was established by Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, on the night before he died upon the altar of the cross, upon which he offered himself to God the Father for the redemption of mankind. By his death upon the altar of the cross, our Savior offered himself to God the Father once, and only once, in a bloody manner. And this was in itself a perfect sacrifice. But it was so that his own priesthood might not come to an end with his death upon the cross, and in order to give his beloved spouse, the Church, a visible sacrifice, such as is required by the nature of man, he offered to God the Father his own body and blood under the form of bread and wine, so that in this way the sacrifice of the cross might always be re-presented to mankind and continuously renewed. The priests who were to offer the perfect sacrifice until the end of time were to be men. The apostles were the first such priests, and they were given the power of the priesthood when Jesus commanded them, "Do this in commemoration of me," thereby investing them with divine power to consecrate bread and wine, precisely as the Divine Master had just done at the table of the Last Supper. Do this, that is, do what I have just done. Consecrate bread and wine, changing them into my body and blood. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is that clean oblation spoken of by the prophet Malachias in the Old Testament. "For from the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name is great among the Gentiles. And in every place there is sacrifice, and there is offered to my name a clean oblation. For my name is great among the Gentiles, saith the Lord of hosts." Thus, according to the teaching of the Council of Trent, the imperfect priesthood of the Old Testament times was replaced by the perfect priesthood of Jesus Christ, which is being perpetuated in ordinary men. And the imperfect sacrifices of the Old Testament were replaced by the perfect sacrifice of the New Law, offered once in a bloody manner on the cross, and offered countless times in the unbloody holy sacrifice of the Mass all through the centuries. Chapter 2 of Trent's document on the Mass stresses the fact that the sacrifice of the Mass is propitiatory, both for the living and for the dead. The complicated sounding word propitiatory means that the holy sacrifice of the Mass has the power to appease the holy and just anger of God because of the countless sins of men, and to make God propitious or favorable towards men, making him prepared to forgive their sins and to readmit them to his grace and friendship. As a propitiatory sacrifice, the Mass is meant to bring about the reconciliation between God and man. As the Council of Trent expresses it, the divine sacrifice which is celebrated in the Mass, because it is the same Jesus Christ, and because in it the same Jesus Christ is offered, who offered himself on the cross, is truly propitiatory and has this effect, that if we, contrite and penitent, with sincere heart and upright faith, with fear and reverence, draw nigh to God, we obtain mercy and find grace with God. Note well the dispositions that are required of us while attending the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We must be contrite and penitent. We must be of sincere heart and upright faith. We must be present at the Holy Mass with fear and reverence. The Council goes on to say that, appeased by this sacrifice, the Lord grants the grace and gift of penitence and pardons even the greatest crimes and sins. The reason for the great effectiveness of the Holy Mass is the fact that the victim being offered through the ministry of priests is one and the same as the victim that was offered on the cross, the manner alone of offering being different. The fruits of the bloody sacrifice of the cross are received most abundantly through the unbloody sacrifice of the Mass, which does not in any way detract from the sacrifice of the cross, because it is essentially one and the same sacrifice as that of the cross. Because of its oneness with the sacrifice of the cross, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is not a mere memorial service, nor a mere commemoration of some past historical event, is rightly offered not only for the sins, punishments, satisfactions, and other necessities of the faithful still living, but also for those departed in Christ, but not yet fully purified in the flames of purgatory. In chapter 3, the Council of Trent deals with masses offered in honor of the saints, who were being so downgraded and pushed aside in those days of the 16th century. The enemies of the Church falsely proclaimed that the Holy Sacrifice was being offered to the saints. Whereas the truth is, as the Council explained, that the sacrifice is offered to God alone, who has crowned the saints. Thus the priest does not say, "To thee, Peter or Paul, I offer sacrifice," but he thanks God in the Mass for their victories, and he implores the saints for their prayers. In chapter 4, the Tridentine Council defends the one acceptable canon of the Mass, now known in the conciliar church as the first canon, or the first Eucharistic prayer, though very little used anymore, declaring that this canon is entirely free from any error, and that it is so perfect that it reflects holiness and piety, and raises up to God the minds of those who offer and attend the Mass in which that canon is used. The old Roman canon, as the first canon is also called in the conciliar church, was instituted centuries before the Council of Trent, as the Council itself declares. And it is perfectly suited to the holiness of the sacrifice of the altar, and makes possible that this sacrifice is offered worthily and reverently. In chapter 5, the rites and ceremonies of the Mass are declared to be necessary by the very nature of man, who is elevated to the meditation on divine things by means of these externals, which help create the right atmosphere for the offering of the Holy Sacrifice. Holy Mother Church has seen to it, the Council stated, that certain parts of the Mass be recited in a low tone of voice, while others are to be said in a louder voice. In accord with traditions coming from the Apostles, there are blessings in the Mass, as well as lights, incense, vestments, and many other things, so that by these things the majesty of so great a sacrifice might be emphasized, and also that the minds of the faithful might be raised to the contemplation of sublime mysteries hidden within the Holy Sacrifice by means of those visible signs of religion and piety. Chapter 6 takes up the question of masses in which only the priest receives Holy Communion And this would include especially private masses, which no one attends except for a server whenever he can be had. The Holy Council stresses the fact that it is the ideal that the faithful should receive Holy Communion at Mass, so that they may derive as much spiritual fruit from the Mass as possible. But the Council does not condemn private Masses, but rather approves and commends them, since every holy sacrifice of the Mass, even if the priest offering it should be all alone, is the public act of worship of the whole Church, offered by a public minister of the Church for all the faithful who belong to the mystical body of Christ. In Chapter 7, the Council of Trent defends the practice of mixing a few drops of water with the wine offered in the chalice during the offertory, because it is believed that Christ the Lord did this, and also because from his sacred side there came forth blood and water when he was pierced with a lance. Furthermore, this union of water with the wine symbolizes the union of the faithful with Christ, since the Apocalypse of St. John speaks of the people as being like many waters. Chapter 8 declares that the Mass may not be celebrated in the vernacular, aside from the exceptional concessions granted to certain churches by the Holy See of Rome. Furthermore, the sacred mysteries of the Holy Sacrifice are to be explained to the faithful frequently by priests who have the care of souls, especially on Sundays and holidays. The Council of Trent was very much conscious of the fact that many errors were being spread around among the faithful, as is evident from Chapter 9, and that many persons were teaching and discussing many things that were in opposition to the one true faith given to men by God. This one true faith is founded upon the Holy Gospel of Jesus Christ, upon the traditions handed down by the apostles, and upon the teachings of the early fathers of the Church, who were the first interpreters and defenders of the faith. By unanimous consent, the Council decreed to condemn by name the various errors of the day, that is, whatever was opposed to the pure faith and sacred doctrine of the Church as it was received from God. The errors condemned by the Council of Trent were arranged into 9 groups and attached to Chapter 9 of the document on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The brief condemnatory statements are called canons, in accord with the ancient custom of the ecumenical councils of the Church. So there are 9 canons which condemn the errors of the heretics regarding the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. They are brief, concise, clear-cut, and to the point, and they are powerful and hard-hitting, all ending with the fear-inspiring words, "Let him be anathema." That is, let him be condemned, or let him be accursed, or let him be excluded from the kingdom of God. The word anathema, used quite often in the sacred scriptures, is used by the ecumenical councils in the meaning used by St. Paul in writing to the Galatians. If we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you other than that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema. To make sure that the true faith regarding the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass should be clearly understood from all angles, that is, both from the positive as well as from the negative standpoint, the Council of Trent added these 9 canons to the positive teaching given in the preceding 9 chapters. Canon number 1. If anyone says that in the Mass a true and real sacrifice is not offered to God, for that to be offered means nothing else than that Christ is given to us to eat, let him be anathema. Canon 2, if anyone says that by those words, do this in commemoration of me, Christ did not ordain the apostles priests, or did not command that they and other priests should offer his own body and blood, let him be anathema. Canon 3, if anyone says that the sacrifice of the Mass is only a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, or that it is a mere commemoration of the sacrifice consummated on the cross, but not a propitiatory sacrifice, or that it benefits only him who receives communion, and that it should not be offered for the living and the dead, and for sins, punishments, satisfactions, and other necessities, let him be anathema. Canon 4, if anyone says that by the sacrifice of the Mass of blasphemy is passed upon the most holy sacrifice of Christ consummated on the cross, or that the former, the Mass, detracts from the latter, that is, the cross, let him be anathema. Canon 5, if anyone says that it is a deception to celebrate Masses in honor of the saints and in order to obtain their intercession with God as the Church intends it, let him be anathema. Canon 6, if anyone says that the canon of the Mass contains errors and is therefore to be abolished, let him be anathema. Canon 7, if anyone says that the ceremonies, vestments, and outward signs which the Catholic Church uses in the celebration of the Masses are incentives to impiety rather than stimulants to piety, let him be anathema. Canon 8, if anyone says that Masses in which the priest alone communicates sacramentally are illicit and therefore are to be abolished, let him be anathema. Canon 9, if anyone says that the rite of the Roman Church, according to which a part of the canon of the Mass and the words of consecration are pronounced in a low tone, is to be condemned, or that the Mass ought to be celebrated in the vernacular tongue only, or that the water ought not to be mixed with the wine that is to be offered in the sacrifice because it is contrary to the institution of Christ, let him be anathema. These then are the 9 canons of condemnation of the Holy Council of Trent regarding the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The words and expressions that the council used while condemning errors are those of the heretics themselves, and they were deliberately used by the council so that it might be clear whose errors are being condemned. Every single one of these errors still exists to this very day, sad to say, yet every single one still stands condemned before God and always will be. The Council of Trent included in its document on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass a decree concerning the things to be observed and avoided in the celebration of the Mass. This decree is basically an exhortation as well as a command that the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass must be offered with all religious devotion and reverence. As the Council emphasizes, no other work can be performed by the faithful that is as holy and divine as this awe-inspiring mystery, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, in which that divine, life-giving victim, by which we are reconciled to the Father, is daily immolated on the altar by priests. Therefore, all effort must be made that the holy sacrifice of the Mass be performed with the greatest possible interior cleanliness and purity of heart, and also exterior evidence of devotion and piety. The Council stated that many things have crept into the Holy Mass that are foreign to the dignity of so great a sacrifice, but all these things must be removed so that the Holy Sacrifice may once again be solely for the glory of God and for the edification of the faithful. May the Lord bless you and give you peace.